here this morning. Thank you, Brother Jimmy, Brother Jim. Let's just go before the Lord in prayer before we turn to scripture this morning. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We're thankful, dear God, for your mercy, Lord, in our lives. We're thankful, dear God, for the blood of Jesus Christ that covers us, Lord God, before you. We're thankful, Lord, that the blood washes away, makes us pure and holy, dear God. We ask, Lord, that you be with us in this service now, this morning. May, Lord God, that you anoint us, Lord, and lead us and guide us through the word to bring that which will be a help and strength to the people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn with me into John chapter 17. I want to start from verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. You may be seated. What I'd like to title this morning is, I Sanctify Myself. This we would think about ourselves, sanctifying ourselves, we think that just would sound strange. We don't think it sounds strange when Jesus says, I sanctify myself. But Jesus was just a man. And he gave up a lot of things for the sake of the disciples and for your sake. Brother Branham said, if there ever was a time, a call for the church to sanctify itself, it's now as we face the crossing over time. I look at the world news and the news of the United States and different things, and friends, I just can't help but think we're getting really close. And now's not the time to quit or give up. Now's the time to indeed consecrate ourselves even more. And we've went along for some time. Maybe there's been things that we've had that we've got by with for some time. But I think it's time to really start laying aside every weight that does so easily beset us in this, and run this race, amen, with patience, realizing we're coming down to the end. And when I used to run in the Army, and when we would have a certain time we had to run 2 miles in, and you know, you had to set a pace to be able to complete the 2 miles. Because if you didn't make it the whole 2 miles, then nothing you did counted for anything. If you only made it a mile, that didn't count for nothing. If you only made it a mile and a half, that didn't count for nothing. You had to make it all the way back. And, then they would time you to see how fast, and you had, according to your age and that, you had a certain amount of time you were allotted to make that run in. And I would set a pace that I made sure that I was making good time, but yet was conserving some energy to make sure that I could make the whole 2 miles. If you just started off with a sprint, I'm going to tell you, unless you're really, really, I don't know, a real athlete, you ain't going to last 2 miles on a sprint. And but I'd set out on a pace. But then when I would get closer, to the end of that run, I knew I was getting closer, I'd pick up the pace. And I'd start running faster. And I'd start running faster. Till at the end, when I crossed the finish line, I was in a full sprint. And I believe that we're at the point now where we need to be getting into a full sprint. I believe we're at the end of it. I believe we've kept a pace and we've kept going and we've made it through trials and we've made it through different things that has come our way, and we've lasted. We've been going the distance. But if we stop now, none of it counts for anything. But now's the time when we should be able to see that we're getting closer to the finish line and pick up the pace. Be more dedicated, more consecrated unto the Lord. Sanctify ourselves from all unbelief. Unbelief, Brother Branham many times told us, wasn't drinking and smoking and lying and all these things. He said sin wasn't all those things, but unbelief was the only sin. Sin wasn't drinking, smoking, lying, and all those things. They were the attributes of sin. The real sin was unbelief. And where it comes in at, that when the Lord, the Holy Spirit, begins to deal with us on things in our lives, and we hesitate to break free of those things, what is causing that is unbelief. Do we really believe we're coming to the end of this? Do we really believe there's going to be a rapture? Do we really believe there's going to be a judgment? Do we really believe these things? If we believe them, then we should be running like we believe them. We should be living like we believe that. Brother Branham said in one message, he said, sanctify yourself and get away from every superstition. He said, the devil would tell people in Brother Branham's services that if you can get to the platform, you'll get healed. But if you don't make it to the platform, you won't get healed. And Brother Branham said, that's the devil telling you that. He said, sanctify yourself from that. He said, because it don't matter whether you're up here on the platform or sitting in your seat, you can be healed. You don't have to make it up here, he said, for me to lay hands on you for you to be healed. You can be healed right there. And he proved it time and time again. And you know, we don't have to have a prophet here to call out our names and tell us where we're from. That was a sign to get the attention of the people. He's already got our attention. We don't need that now to know we can be healed. We know we can be healed. You know where you live. You know what your name is. You don't need nobody to tell you. That was just a sign to get the attention of the people. We don't need that sign now. We've already received that sign. We're seeing, you know, if you traveled from here to Memphis, why, along the way you would see a sign that would say, you know, 120 some miles to Memphis. Well, you don't need to see that sign again, because you're going to be closer. So the next sign won't say 120 miles. The next sign might say 80 miles to Memphis. So, and then after you pass that sign, you don't need to see that one no more. You've already seen, you already got the message of the sign. We've already received the message of the sign. We don't need the signs no more. There's a lot of people that seem like over the years kept focusing on the signs. And for some reason, they kept trying to promote different preachers that maybe had this sign or had that sign or the other. Or, you know, maybe this one could call out, or this one could say that. We don't need those signs. We've already received the message. We got what the sign was for. We've already received it. We don't need another one to come on the scene. Sanctify ourselves from the things of the world. Brother Adam said, you as a man, you had to stop your smoking, stop your drinking, stop your going to the pool room, all your all-night card parties and all those things. You had to sanctify yourself from them by the faith of the blood of Jesus Christ. Sanctify yourself. You women had to let your hair grow out, lengthen your dresses, and act like different than what you was acting. Sanctifying time. So there are things that God's not going to come down and just take out of your hand. The sanctification that of the work of the Holy Spirit is supposed to take away the desires for those things. But you're the one that's got to physically lay them down. That's what it means when it says you sanctify yourself. If a man, according to what Brother Bram is saying here, if a man was smoking, God's not going to come down and take them cigarettes out of his hand. He's going to have to lay them cigarettes down. But the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit will take the desire for that out of there. He won't need no nicotine patch. The Holy Spirit takes that desire out of there, burns it out. Now, they say that these nicotine patches, and that it's all because it's a chemical thing within the person's body that makes them desire that nicotine. That's right, but it's a demon that's causing that chemical desire. And when the Holy Spirit sanctifies you, casts that demon out of there, then the desire is gone. But yet you yourself would have to physically lay them down. You can't just go around smoking and say, well, when God takes this away from me. No, you got to lay it down. It's the same thing with everything else of the world. God's not going to come down and take it. He takes away the desire. But you're the one that's got to physically turn your back on the world. You're the one that's got to turn your back on the things of the world and the things you used to do, that old life. Now listen to this. Brother Branham says, he said, that's one of my favorite scriptures where Jesus says, for their sake, I sanctify myself. He said, what a beautiful scripture. He said, he was training 12 men, and those 12 men was going to take the gospel to the world. And that's why he said, for their sakes, I sanctify myself. He said, make yourself, sanctify yourself for your neighbor's sake, for somebody else's sake. Don't use your liberty for a cloak. Behave yourself in the neighborhood. Act like a real Christian ought to. Let your communications be like a real Christian. Now listen to what he says here. If you know you're going to meet your enemy, sanctify yourself for his sake, not knowing what you might do. Sanctify yourself. Look, if you know you're going to be in a conversation with somebody that somehow you know there's some conflict between you, before you get into that conversation, sanctify yourself. Die to that old man. Die to that flesh again. Paul said you had to die to it daily. As long as we're in this flesh, it doesn't matter how much of the Holy Ghost you have, this flesh is still there and you're going to have to contend with it. And this flesh has feelings. That human spirit you have has emotions and feelings. You would say, well, it hurt my feelings. Well, sanctify your feelings. Prepare yourself. If you know you're going to have, for instance, if you know you was going to have a talk with your boss about something at work, you'd pray about it. And you'd pray God be with you and help you and give you what to say. See? If you knew you were going to have a confrontation with someone, you'd pray about that. What would you do? Sanctify yourself. Prepare yourself for it. Die out to this flesh so that this flesh man won't rile up and get and make a mess out of everything. I think that's the problem with some of the communication around here between folks, between some folks within the church. Problem is, you need to die out to your flesh before you talk to one another. Sanctify yourself instead of getting on the phone and just letting your flesh go. Hey, look, we've all got flesh, and this flesh has buttons that can be pushed to get it upset. Now, here's the thing. I was told this by a therapist. You know, a person who has been in, for instance, like Brother Phil could maybe relate to this, I think, but especially someone's been like in the service. And if you've been through immense training, you get adrenaline rushes. And that adrenaline helps you to be able to do some things physically that your body's required to do to complete that training. And if you get into, if you get into actual like combat, then the person can have an adrenaline rush. And it'll allow them to capable to do what they've been trained to do. Now, a person in a position like that, they're used to giving in to that adrenaline rush. And so when they go to face things that don't really require that adrenaline rush, but because it may be a confrontation or something else, they still get the adrenaline rush. And if they give in to it, then that's going to affect how they react to that situation. You with me? Are you following me? Well, it's just like this. You, in your human life, in your flesh, have been used to react in certain ways to certain things. When somebody says something that kind of touches you a certain way, you've been used to giving in to that anger or whatever it is, and reacting back. Well, I got to say something back to him then. That's that old man. That's that old way of the flesh. That's the way you've done for years. That's what you need to sanctify yourself from and get away from. Die out to that thing. Yeah, this is the way our family's always done it. Well, your family's been doing it wrong all these times. You need to change. Look, if you didn't need to change, God would have never sent me here. And he didn't send me here because I'm perfect. Sometimes I got to learn some things the hard way. I'm just as human and flesh made as you are. And sometimes, you know, sometimes the Lord gives me knowledge and wisdom and I don't have to actually go through what you're going through to be able to help you. But there's other times the Lord makes me go through things. And it's for my perfecting. It's for changing me. But it's also so that I can yield to God that he can bring a word to change you. Sanctify yourself, Brother Branham said, that the dove of real faith can come in and take his abode, and you know you could be healed. You know you could be set free. Now listen to this. He goes further into this about Jesus saying, I sanctify myself. He said, Father, I sanctify myself because of them. He was a man. He could have had a wife. He was a man. He could have had a home, a place to lay his head. He had rights to that because he was a man. He could have had good clothes. He was a man. But what did he say? Father, I sanctify myself for their sake. So here's the things he's saying. Jesus was a man. He could have had these things. It wasn't like they were beyond his reach. Sometimes I think I believe that Jesus was divine. But I also believe he was a man. And I think sometimes some people ignore the whole human side of Jesus so much that they make him like he was superhuman. In other words, well, he didn't feel any desires or wants for those things. That's wrong. He was human. Brother Branham said he was tempted, as the Bible said, in every way. He said Jesus was even tempted by women. Why? Because he was a man. But he chose to sanctify himself from all those things for the sake of those disciples, those 12 that he was going to be sending out into the world, or I guess you would actually say it, come down to 11 until Paul came along. But he was actually teaching them. And Brother Branham said, you preachers need to sanctify yourselves for the people's sake that you're leading. Why? Because they're going to follow your example. They're going to follow what you do. Listen to this. He said, Jesus said, Father, I sanctify myself for their sakes. He said he didn't have to do it. He didn't do it because he had to. He did it because he wanted to. A lot of times we think Jesus done things because he had to do them. No, he did them because he wanted to do it. He wanted to do the will of the Father. But we can see in the garden that he still had to struggle with that flesh. If it's possible, let this cup pass from me. And he prayed that way 3 times. If it's possible, let me get out of this. Let me not let to let this happen. But then he said, nevertheless, not my will. Showing that the will of the human side of him was different than the will of God. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. When Joshua and the children of Israel were coming down, time to cross the Jordan, and after they crossed the Jordan, why, they was going to have to take Jericho. And the angel of the Lord spoke to Joshua and said, you have not passed this way before. Showing the children of Israel, they were going to be stepping in places that weren't familiar to them. You ever been there? Where, you know, there's some things you go through in your Christian walk that you say, oh, I've been through this before. But then there's other things that come up and you can say, I've never been through this yet. I ain't never went this way before. But he said, I'll send my angel before you to show you the way. And said, let the ark go before you. Let the trumpeters and that go before you. And then let the ark follow. And let the ark be before you, and you follow the ark. And Joshua said, stay close to the ark. Now, Joshua and the people had never went that way before, so Joshua was walking by faith. He did not know how deep the Jordan was. He had never been in it before. You know, you can look at a river, and you can look and you can kind of gauge what the width of that river is. But buddy, you don't really know how wide it is until you try to cross it. Then you begin to realize how wide it actually is. You can see the current taking the water down, but you really don't know that current until you feel it. Joshua had never went this way before. He didn't know how deep the Jordan was. He didn't know how muddy the surface under the water might have been. He had no idea. But what he knew was the Lord told him they were going to cross the Jordan. So he had to go by faith, and he had to follow the instructions that the Lord gave him. And so in the Bible, the Lord told Joshua, before you cross the Jordan, sanctify yourself and sanctify the people. Prepare them for the crossing. Get them right in their minds. Sanctify means to consecrate. It means to purify. Sanctify yourself from all the superstitions, Brother Branham said. In other words, sanctify yourself from all fear. And then they crossed the Jordan. Now, after they crossed the Jordan, we know how the account goes, that they sent a couple spies into Jericho to spy it out. And we know the account about the spies and Rahab hiding the spies, and how they told her, said, you know, hang this scarlet cord from your window when we come, because she asked that her and her family be saved. And they said, everyone that's in under this will be saved alive. And, we know how that they marched around the city 7 days, and how on the seventh day they marched around the city seven times. And then they blew their trumpets, and the people shouted. And the walls, the great walls of Jericho. Now that's something, you know, we think so often, well, the walls came down. Well, Jericho was famous for its great walls. And back during these times was when, you know, people of other cities or whatever would sometimes come and try to raid another city to take of its wealth or take of its things. But Jericho was known for its great walls that protected the city. These walls came down because some people marched around the building and blew trumpets and yelled. That was the hand of God. But Joshua had sanctified himself and brought the people to sanctify themselves. Told them, sanctify yourselves, for on tomorrow you will see the glory of God like you've never seen it before. So they were sanctified and ready that God could come and do what he did and win the battle for them. After that, they were feared. But God gave a commandment. He said, when you take Jericho, you destroy everything. The only thing that was to be saved from Jericho was Rahab and her family that was under that scarlet cord. But everything else, God said, the oxen, the cattle, the sheep, everything was to be destroyed. All of the possessions of Jericho were to be destroyed. They weren't supposed to sack this place. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, they weren't supposed to take of the spoils of Jericho. And God said that everything that was of Jericho needed to be destroyed because he said it was accursed because of who Jericho was. But one fella got his eyes on a beautiful garment and decided, nobody's going to know. I'll just take this garment for myself. And then he saw some shekels of silver and decided, I'll take those two. And then he saw a wedge of gold and he said, I'll take this. He just was overcome by these things. Instead of obeying the voice of the Lord and the commandment of God, he took these things secretly. Now, I'm going to tell you how good he was about taking them secretly. Nobody knew he had it. Nobody knew. And he took it and made it back to the camp of Israel with it. And then hid it in his tent. And the Bible says he took the silver and hid that under his tent. And then came the battle against the Amorites. I believe you pronounce the leader of the Amorites, Ahi, was his name. It's just spelled A-I. And when they came across this battle, the Amorites smote them mightily with the sword. Now, the children of Israel got so full of themselves that they said, we don't need to send everybody up there. We'll just send out a certain number up there and we'll take them out. But they end up turning their backs and running for their lives. Now, right away, this troubled Joshua because they were supposed to be able to overcome every enemy that stood in their way. And so Joshua gets on his face before the Lord and says, Lord, why has this happened? Because now, he said, this is going to be voiced throughout the land. And the Canaanites are going to hear about it. He said, and then when we go to battle against anyone else, they're going to know how we turn, had to turn and run. And this is going to get voiced about, and they're not going to fear us. And God said, here's the problem. Somewhere in your camp, there's an accursed thing. And as long as that accursed thing is in the camp of Israel, you'll not be able to stand before your enemies. Joshua says, what do I do? He said, call the children of Israel by tribes to come up before you and inquire of each tribe. And let them know they're standing before me when they answer. And so Joshua began to call them up, and he started with the tribe of Judah. And he began to call them up by tribes to come up before him. And when they would come up before him, he would ask them, worship the Lord and give God glory. And he did this with each tribe until up come Achan. And when he told Achan to worship God, Achan couldn't, because he knew that he had disobeyed the commandments of the Lord. So Joshua said, you know, tell me the truth. And Achan said, I have sinned before the Lord. And he said, I saw a goodly garment and I took it. And I took so many shekels of silver. And I took a wedge of gold, and he told the weight of it. Joshua says, where is this stuff? He says, in my tent. And Joshua sent men to go spy out Achan's tent and find that stuff. And they brought that accursed stuff back before Joshua. And the Bible said that they took Achan, and they took his family, and they took his possessions, and they took his livestock, and they stoned every one of them. And they burnt him and his family and his livestock and his possessions and the accursed things, burned them with fire in the valley of Achor, so that they could be cleansed. But this was the thing. When God was telling Joshua what he was to do, how he was to find this accursed thing, he says, you're going to lose to your enemies until you sanctify Israel. Until you sanctify the people, you're going to lose. You're going to be defeated every time. You know, here was old Achan, one man, and it affected the whole camp. You realize one person can affect the church? If we get a spirit on us, on this, friends, look, you can have the Holy Ghost and still get influenced by a spirit in your flesh or in your spirit realm. Because that's the realms that the devil deals in. And Brother Branham said, that's where the greatest battle is fought. And you let some kind of bitterness lay in there, or some kind of grudge against somebody, and that will begin to affect the whole church. It'll begin to affect, friends, look, I can tell you this. Somebody gets a spirit on them that's like, for instance, like a critical spirit, man, it makes it hard to preach. And it only has to be one person in the church, and it will make it hard to preach. And so it's affecting everybody else too, from them getting what they need to get. So we need to think about that when we think about sanctifying ourselves. Sanctify ourselves from any. Paul puts it this way. He said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God whereby you've been sealed. Putting off from you all malice, all envy, all bitterness, all these things. And he's talking to people who've been sealed by the Holy Ghost. Sanctify yourself from those things. Sanctify yourself from this flesh and its feelings. Don't let there get a bad feeling between you and somebody else, especially not you and somebody else in the church, but you and anybody. If it don't have to be somebody that's coming to this church, you get something against somebody, it's going to affect how you are wherever you are. Excuse me. Wherever you are, it's going to affect you. And you bring that thing in here with you, and it affects the whole church. It affects everybody in the church. The Holy Spirit feels grieved and doesn't want to move over the people and through the assembly like he always does. So this is my message to you this morning. Sanctify yourself from your flesh. Sanctify yourself from these things. And if you're holding something against somebody, well, get that thing settled. If you got anything that you know of, and you know whether you do or don't, but if you got anything you know of, then get sanctified from that so that we can be victorious. Amen. I'll tell you what, this may be a small church, but it's not a weak church. It's not a church that any wind of doctrine can upset it. No false doctrine. I don't believe that a false doctrine can come through here and upset this church. I believe this church is strong beyond those things. I believe it's because the Lord has strengthened us, and he strengthened us by his word. We need to be able to get along down here, because heaven ain't going to change that. Brother Branham said the grave don't change you. Whatever goes down is what comes up. So getting raptured, we might get a body change. And we might get, a theophany, but it's still the same person. If we're going to rule and reign in the millennium, we're going to have to start ruling over this flesh now. The time of the millennium, it's wonderful to think on those things. It's wonderful to preach about them, but that'll come and take care of itself. What we need to have our minds concerned with is the here and now. Are we having dominion over our flesh now? Or do we allow the things of our flesh just to rise up all the time? Well, I talked to you about that adrenaline rush. We just so used to giving in to that flesh. Well, you need to sanctify yourself so you won't give in to that flesh. Hallelujah. Let's stand. I looked forward to this service. I was led for this message. This sermon, and I look forward to bringing it. And friends, it's God, same time he's dealing in your life, God's dealing in my life. When I tell you things like we need to get in our minds that we're closer to the end, it's because that's what the Holy Spirit has been telling me. That's what the Holy Spirit's been when he talks to me personally for my walk. Look, you need to start acting like we're at the end. you need to start running like we're close to the finish line. Get in a hurry to get out of here. I told y'all last Sunday about the different things that's happening in our in the political things of our nation. That's got to be a sign of the end. Look, friends, in Sodom, it became their way of life. If you was to talk to a Sodomite, a person from Sodom, I imagine even if you think about Lot. Lot was not a homosexual. But Lot got used to being around homosexuals. And it became, that's just the way it is. And that's the way this nation's been going. To make it where it's more acceptable toward those things. That those things are normal. And they're passing laws, friends, to allow certain things for young, underage children, if they decide, well, I really want it to be a girl, then they're moving on things to allow them to receive certain medications and things to where it'll stop and slow down puberty, them turning into a boy or turning, becoming a man. So that when they get of age of consent, they can go have their change done. And why is these things happening? Because the nation is getting to where those things are becoming more commonplace. It's becoming where, well, that's just part of life. You know, they have their sexual preferences. And, you know, that's just, you know, everybody's born, you know, different, and some of us ain't born the way we were supposed to be. What is it? Friends, to me, I look at it and say, we're becoming more like Sodom in this nation. Where those things, those abominable things, they're not only becoming common, but they want to be accepted in the religious realms. They want to be accepted in the churches. If you think they're not going to pass some law, they've already passed some laws out in California. And things are going to spread through the nation. They've passed some laws where you can't say nothing about them, or you can't stop them from coming into your congregation. They've already passed some of that stuff up in California. It's coming. And I believe if we haven't got the right guy in the office to make these things happen, we're pretty close to the right guy. You know, or maybe something will happen, it'll be the right woman. You know, we're at the end time. So let's live like we're at the end time. Let's start treating one another like we're going to spend eternity together. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's been some things that's went on in this church and things that have hung on for years. We need to get over that. We need to get past that. Like I said, start treating one another like we're going to be together forever. Because we are. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord God, for the message today, Lord, and for the, Lord, the awakening of our senses, dear God, to let us realize, Lord, just how close we're coming to the end, Lord. And Father, I pray, God, that you will be with the people today, dear God. May we take these things to heart, and may, Lord, we take it to practice in our lives. Let us sanctify ourselves from this flesh and from these things that so easily beset us. And Lord God, that the emotions, dear God, of our human spirit, let's sanctify ourselves, Lord. Lord Jesus, I pray that your word, that we would become more like you. Lord, that's what our goal is, Lord, to be more like you. Take on the mind of Christ, to think on things the way you do, to look at others the way you look at them, Lord. Father, see through, Lord God, that flesh of each other, Lord. Lord Jesus, I pray your blessings on the people today. Go with them, dear God. Bless them, watch over them, dear God. Keep them safe, dear God. I pray, dear Lord Jesus, that, Lord, I know we're all susceptible to this, everyone, it don't matter who you are, susceptible to this virus that's going around, but I pray, dear God, that may you help us, Lord, and protect us. Lord God, I pray for that constantly, dear God. Lord, to be protected from that virus, Lord. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name and to the glory of God. Amen.